What's up? Welcome to Canucks Talk Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. My co-host is Thomas Trance. He covers the team for The Athletic as well. We are broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics working together with you in step 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This hour of Canucks Talk is brought to you by Rack Steel. You need forklifts to perform under pressure and pallet racking that maximizes your space. Visit them online at racksteel.com. Big Wednesday show coming up. The crossover with Donnie and Dolly in a few minutes. Bukla at 1. And the Quinn Hughes drama, storyline, tension, whatever you want to call it, anticipation continues to unfold and new twists and turns. Mike Sullivan, Quinn Hughes is coming to Boston. Oh, actually, no. He's practicing in a non-contact jersey in Vancouver. Yesterday, he's on the ice again for practice. Today with the Canucks right now as we speak, this time in a regular jersey. So upgraded from a non-contact jersey yesterday. And we've heard a lot of reporting on the subject. We've heard Quinn Hughes yesterday. We'll see. Will we get an official answer on whether or not Quinn Hughes is A, going to Boston, B, eligible to play in the Four Nations final tomorrow? It feels like post-practice is pretty close to a drop-dead date on this, right? Because if he's going to Boston, you're leaving after practice today.
Yeah, he physically can't get there.
Yes.
Most likely. Well, you just wouldn't want to fly tomorrow.
Well, you don't want to do like a red eye or something, right? Like if you're going, what you do is you practice, you finish, you go to the airport.
And even that's tough, man. It's hard going west to east and waking up on time and like having a big game that night.
Yep.
Especially if you came west like just, you know, 2 days ago, which is the case in Quinn Hughes' case. So tough for the guy. We want to see him play.
Yes.
I think everyone wants to see him play or should want to see him play. Maybe not the Canucks. You know,
well, there's an interesting wrinkle to this as well, right? Because I think yesterday we were kind of looking at it as, well, it's the NHL rules and maybe there's a logistical thing and does Team Canada have a problem with it? But I think the other element, the other part here is Quinn Hughes' health. I mean, he was in a non-contact jersey yesterday. And after he spoke to, or when he spoke to the media, he said, you know, look, in a perfect world, the medical team here would like me to take it step by step. And now he was also saying, like, yeah, no problem. I'm going to be good to go on Saturday against Vegas. But as he said, what, he'd skated three times in 20 days? It sounded like there was also maybe still some question marks about his health and his readiness for Thursday. So it's a complicated situation, a lot going on in this one.
I would actually assume that he's already got to be on a charter, by the way, looking at this now.
Like if he's going to,
yeah, I can't get myself out of Boston anyway, commercially, and get there today. So I would think he's already got to be chartering if he's leaving today.
Yeah,
it's tough. It's late, and yeah, you're right. Not only that, but when he was asked about his health generally, he kind of implied in answering, because he was asked basically, "Are you gonna, you know, is this gonna get better in season?" And he kind of admitted no without so much as actually doing so.
Yeah.
You know, but he was pretty clear, like, this is a player who's going to be playing hurt all year. You know, if he was in Boston today and a full member of the team, I think one of the big storylines would be, is Quinn Hughes in or not?
Yeah, what's Quinn Hughes' health? Right.
You know, like, I think that would be a storyline. And it'd be like, he's going to play.
Yeah.
But we also know he's not.
Now, the other element is, and we'll get to our guests, we'll get to the crossover here in a second, but Team USA practiced today.
Speaking of people that are hurting,
the only guy absent was Brady Tkachuk. Now, that was apparently illness, and they expect him to play. So if you were going to do any shenanigans, right, with Jake Sanderson or Noah Hanifin or Vincent Trocheck, like, today is the day where they would miss practice to open the door.
It's just an illness for Brady?
That's what they said.
What, he look in a mirror? No, I'm kidding. I love Brady Tkachuk.
So it does seem like it's very much going in the direction of no Quinn Hughes tomorrow, but we'll see if we get an official answer one way or another today. All right, now. Now joining us, as mentioned, for the crossover, Don Taylor, Rick Dollywall. You can watch him Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Check TV on Donnie and Dolly. And they join us every Wednesday here for the crossover. Fellas, how's it going?
Great.
Very well. Looking forward to tomorrow, obviously.
Yeah, no kidding, huh? I mean, I think last we checked in with you guys, you were both very excited. We've been really excited for this tournament. But yeah. I got to say, I mean, even as someone who was boosting it, it's surpassed my expectations. Like, that game on Saturday, I thought, okay, maybe we'll get one fight during the course of this between Canada and the U.S. Instead, you get three in 9 seconds. I mean, I thought the players would be hyped. I thought they'd be into it. They've blown past my expectations.
Yeah, there's so many levels to this event. There's the hockey itself. Mm-hmm. There's the political level, the 51st state and all of that. And then there's this. There's much like 1972, and I mentioned this on Sat and Dan's show, and I am dating myself, but there's this thought that someone else is threatening our game.
Yep.
And it's been going on for a few years, but here it is front and center at an event like this. So there's a lot of things going on, and I think it manifested itself last Saturday. How do they top it tomorrow? Can't wait.
We underestimated. We did a poll question before the tournament, guys. And a lot of people said, you know what, this is going to be, average or whatever. Nobody expected this.
It was meh.
Like the compete, the intensity, these Tkachuk brothers doing what they did on Saturday. I mean, players saying it's the biggest game of their careers. We did not see a lot of this coming. Like a lot of people said, whatever. You know, Russia's not there, so you can't call it best on best. Just absolutely blown away with the success of this tournament. Very happy for it. Just love the intensity. We do got to, whether you like them or not, you got to thank the Tkachuk brothers because the U.S. ratings are the U.S. rating, thanks mostly in part to those two guys and some of the shenanigans they were up with. I don't like the fact that they fought two guys under 6 feet. That bothers me. It's kind of why I kind of wish Tom Wilson was, on the team. And there was a lot of, early on, Tom's going to make the team, he's going to make it, and then kind of at the end he didn't make it. But anyways, the intrigue, the mystery, the stuff going on between Canada and the U.S., it's just been a great 10, 11 days for the game of hockey.
Under 6 feet, who else would they have gone with?
Well,
wait, who did they fight? Brendan Hagel.
Colton Parayko fought
JT Miller. Yeah.
Colton Parayko is much bigger than JT Miller.
Yeah. Although JT Miller just threw his gloves down. He didn't care who he went with.
Yeah.
Wasn't Bennett the other one?
Bennett's a big boy, and Brendan Hagel's not a wilting violet. He was game. Neither of those fights were lopsided or unfair, Rick. Come on.
Yeah, okay, but that's Thomas. They could have taken on guys who were over 6 feet, 6'4", 222.
Who?
Okay, well, Parayko, you just mentioned one. Parayko, whatever. But he would have given them.
I can't decide if he's a ham too. or a Beatles wife. Yeah.
Parayko.
So you don't think up against him, though, Thomas? That you don't think it would have been a different story up against him, though?
But he fought JT Miller.
Yeah, I know he did. But the Tkachuk brothers should have asked him to go, though. That's all I'm saying.
We
could have picked,
How tall is Connor McDavid? Why didn't he
maybe
fight?
In future international tournaments now, Canada adjusts their roster now because these Tkachuk brothers are going to be playing for the Americans.
But what if
for
they
many,
outskate?
Many years.
What if they outskate the Americans? Like, what if their devastating speed tomorrow?
And to me, it's awesome. Like, Brandon Hagel's, he held his own. It's not like he got whooped. And was like, it was a great moment for him, right? Yeah. He answered the bell. He stood his ground.
He's going to end up on our $20 bill.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great guy. He's a national hero.
Well, guys, you know, my first reaction was, and we've seen this with Brady Tkachuk before, was great. Like, get those guys off the ice. They're two of their better players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing against Hagel and Bennett, but if they want to fight, go for it. I think it was a Canuck game earlier this year where Brady Tkachuk took himself off the ice a couple of times, and everybody on the Canucks or whoever the opposition was that day was like, oh, absolutely, that's just fine. Now, it worked out for the Americans, but that was my first reaction, though.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Two-thirds of their top line. Then they were in the box right off the bat. I had the exact same reaction. Yeah, I was like, I get it, but I don't know about that strategy. As you said, it didn't end up paying off for the Americans. All right. I mean, Quinn Hughes, obviously a big storyline for that game tomorrow. Big storyline here. I don't know. We were just talking. It seems like it's pointing in the direction of him not being in Boston, not playing, just with the timing here, the questions if he'd even be eligible. What's your guys' sense of it? And, I know I'm Canadian, right? I want Canada to win, obviously, but I also want them to beat the Americans at their full strength. So for that reason, I would love to see Quinn Hughes in the game, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
Okay, so Look, anything's possible in this day and age. Thomas has a private jet. I know a lot of people do.
I call it my PJ.
He can get there. There you go. Whatever that means. But he can get there very quickly. All right. So I guess that's possible. Can the rules be bent? I'm not sure. What about this, guys? Is there any chance it's gamesmanship here when it comes to Mike Sullivan, Bill Guerin? Just put some thought in the Canadians' head. Maybe they have to prepare for Quinn Hughes. Maybe they don't. Just to mess with them a little bit, because that's the only way it makes sense when I see Quinn Hughes on the ice today. I mean, how is this going to happen? You know, and we're talking about somebody with some health issues. I just think there's a possibility that the Americans are just messing or trying to mess with the Canadians.
Well, Hughes can't play unless the U.S. goes below six healthy defensemen. I just got a text from a guy in Boston who said it's still fluid. It's up in the air, but who knows? Quinn's on the ice right now. He might tell us in a yep. few minutes if he's going or not anyways. But I am sure the Americans have thought of a million ways to get that guy on the roster. You know, going 11-7, everyone's okay. Well, we'll get him on with 11-7, but the NHL is not going to go for that. The NHL does not want a stain on this tournament if a team pulls a stunt like that. I just think that you got to look at the ethics of this thing. Okay, so they had Hughes 11-7. So
the ethics of the four
Tom
nations.
Or, well,
come on.
Well, they're talking, but Thomas, the Americans are trying to find a loophole right now, and right now the NHL saying no. They're trying to like.
That's like the least concerning thing the Americans have done in 2 weeks.
Yeah, but.
No, you know, like this.
Holy smokes. Well, that's quite the cackle. That was a long cackle. Wow.
Yeah. That was like 10 seconds.
That was a 10
I'll give you something
cackle.
To be concerned
I was
about,
for you
buddy.
To stop. Whoa. No,
I liked my joke. And then when I saw you guys didn't, I found it funnier.
You're the only one.
Had to keep laughing. Had to do it all himself.
Oh, my God.
No, but I mean, this tournament was. This tournament's caught lightning in a bottle. It has no basis in history. It was cobbled together. The league came up with roster rules, trying to respect the breaks and private time of the players. Not I think, having a sense, because how could they? None of us did. About sort of what the intensity would look like, the risk of injury that would sort of be an inevitable byproduct of these games being played at higher than playoff pace. I mean, shouldn't you... Sometimes don't you need to just be willing to improvise, especially when you're cooking at an event like this?
Like change the rules midstream, you mean, Thomas?
Yeah, like well, you don't need Thomas Harley standing in the hallway waiting to get on the ice. The Finns got down
to that was bad. Yeah.
The Finns got down to like their very last defenseman. So at this point we're at like three of four teams being impacted by restrictive roster rules that have teams carrying fewer skaters than they would in a normal like 23 game roster environment, the way you have on like an NHL road trip. Like, you know, it's a good thing to learn for the future, but why not just be like, hey, you know what? We didn't expect it to be this sick. Let's bring in a guy. That's my view.
You've gone this far with these rules. I think you have to finish it. You have to finish the tournament with these rules. But what you just said there is so true. I think going forward, if there's an event like this again, the rules are going to be different. There's going to be larger rosters. It's a little ridiculous. Like you said, the Harley situation was strange.
Yeah, they asked for 25, and you want that injured taxi roster for sure. And by the way, what defenseman on the American side could you actually sit down and say, hey, you got a mystery virus because we're going to put Quinn Hughes in the lineup? And that American blue line is big, strong, fast. I mean, which guy are you going to, other than Sanderson, I guess, because he got in late because of Charlie McAvoy. But
he also,
well, Sanderson
guys,
was the
Sanderson
Hughes replacement.
Sanderson was Hughes's, like, Hughes was named to the roster. You know, like, he was one of their first guys named. Anyway, I just think it's, I want to see him play. I think he should be allowed to play. The spirit of a hastily cobbled together best-on-best exhibition tournament like requires the... Let's do what we saw on Saturday again, but this time with Makar and Hughes. Who does that sound bad to? Well, we all want to see that.
You make the good point there, Thomas. And I'm not, I'll stick by what I said. The rules are the rules, and just finish the tournament and go from there. But people forget that Makar didn't play last Saturday.
Yeah.
And to have Makar and Hughes on the same sheet of ice
Let's go.
Is something that's a great selling point for the exactly great selling point for this tournament and the entire National Hockey League. And is Makar going to make a big difference? You'd have to think the answer would be yes, and you'd love to see what Hughes would do for the Americans. Maybe the Canadians don't want to see it.
Time will tell.
And I think the other thing, and this is something we were talking about on our show yesterday, you know, to see the success of this tournament, because you're right, Rick, there was a sense, right, they didn't want to ask guys to kind of give up their break to be on a taxi squad. Like, oh, do people really care that much? They want to go on vacation. Well, they're going to try to do the World Cup now, what, in 2028? And I think players are going to look at that tournament totally differently, where they'll say, yeah, sure, I'll be on the taxi squad. If so, like, I get to hang around, I get to have the experience, maybe, you know, put myself in position to make an Olympic team. And I think a big part of this tournament is going to be showing us that you can do best on best without the Olympics. And in fact, there's a lot of positives to it, right? Like, it's, you can have fighting. You have the NHL size ice sheet. You got NHL refs that aren't calling every stick infraction they can see like they are in the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's on in the right time zone. All of these things, like, this is a big deal, I think, for the NHL going forward.
Yeah, that 10-year absence or whatever it was, the decade-long plus absence helped. Right. You know, that this the buildup and the buildup, I think, to Saturday was just tremendous. You're not going to have that. But I think that when it comes to the World Cup, just stick with it. It's been dribs and drabs. And I hope that, and the, all signs are that they're going to stick with it, but get some momentum going with that event. Because here's my, and I'll go off on a little tangent here. Here's my feelings when it comes to the World Cup and how important it is. Does anybody refer to Sidney Crosby as a World Cup champion? Because he is, and other players are. Nobody does. It hasn't got enough traction. I hope they stick with it and make it real special.
And look at the rating success. They got to build on this too. Mm. Look, on Saturday you saw one thing on Twitter. In the U.S., you saw a lot of politicians with 700,000-800,000 followers saying, hey, look at this hockey game. That hockey game spread like wildfire down south. The Canadian numbers were always going to be strong, but the American numbers, okay, so how can we build off this? How can we, you know, get hockey to a new level on television in the U.S.? Because what a great start. Well, I hate to say great start, but what a night Saturday was, and the Americans, they tuned in. And look at the NBA All-Star game. What was it? 20-30-40 whatever percent down, and meanwhile this hockey game was absolutely going crazy in the U.S. So now find a way to bottle it up and build off it, because those TV numbers in the U.S. they got a long way to go.
Donnie, let me give you my take. I've been throwing at people. I'm curious to get your thoughts on it, but one of my takes is that actually in Olympic hockey, IIHF rules, you fight, you're thrown out of the game, so you'd never get players of the stature of the Tkachuk brothers fighting to start a game like that. You know, they're played under international rules, lots of ticky-tack calls, slower ice sheet slows the game down. It's not the bumper car physical fight for space hockey we love in North America. It's a better product. Like, the World Cup played under NHL rules with teams like this actually should be a better product, and the league needs to figure out a way to diminish the prestige of the Olympics, because this is actually better hockey.
You know what, Thomas? Get my take on it. That's the first time I've heard anybody make that point. This is the best moment you've had on Sportsnet 650. That is just honestly,
we got to get a banner here draped behind him.
I don't take praise well, Donnie. Blushing.
No, it's a great point, because I always think when I watch the games on the large ice, the European size ice, I always think there's supposed to be more room, and I'm not seeing better hockey here. It's everybody
slow.
Just collapses, and the game's on the outside, and like you say, those rules where, you know, if you fight, you're out, and the ticky-tack calls. Yeah, this and the World Cup going forward could very well be, maybe initially won't have the prestige, but could very well be better. This is just an outstanding moment, honestly. It is.
Wow, that's big for you, buddy.
I didn't expect you to like my take
than
that much.
He's come up with. Yeah.
Holy cow. Thomas in the Ring of Honor.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. I'm going to borrow that. I'm borrowing that for from now to the end of time. That is very good.
Donnie, let's go. Like, that's a great take.
It's mine
now.
You're welcome. You're welcome to it.
Belongs to
exactly.
me.
The most important thing about that take is that it becomes widespread. Let's get back to the Canucks. I want to ask Rick about what Thatcher Demko's injury means for this team. We know the situation. We know that Lankanen's a pending UFA. We know that Artur Shelov's can't really afford to miss this opportunity, right, to cement himself as a reliable NHL option. And we know that Thatcher Demko becomes extension eligible on July 1 and needs to prove that he can stay healthy. It feels like the ramifications of this 5-6 game absence, Rick, could be mammoth for this team, not just down the stretch, but in terms of what their plan is long term in net. What are your thoughts? What are you hearing?
Well, first of all, I don't know about you guys, but we've had a lot of goalies on the show in the last while, and you know, John Garrett, Jamie McClellan, they all say they're concerned. Like, these are guys that played in the NHL that are really concerned about Demko's injuries. This is the fourth one in the past year. Okay, that's four in less than a year. You know, it's put the Canucks in a tough situation. They're going to have to go outside their comfort zone to re-sign Lankanen, who could get over $4 million a year on the free agent market if he continues. The one thing Lankanen has shown the Canucks this year is the utter importance and the need of a real good goaltender behind Demko. Look, if the Canucks don't re-sign Lankanen, they cannot go cheap with the backup goalie next year. They have gone cheap in the past, and it backfired with Colin Delia and Spencer Martin. They need a backup next year if Lankanen's not here, who might have to play 30-plus games. Demko himself, if the injuries don't stop, you know there is no way the Canucks can give him a long-term deal on his next contract. So there is a lot of things at play. But here's the other one. If you give Lankanen what he wants, which is term and money, then what happens to Shelov's? Because he's supposed to be the goalie of the future, right? So there's so many things that are at play. Demko's got a year and a half left on his deal. They can start talking to him July 1st. I can't tell you it's pretty quiet on the Canucks, Lankanen in front. It got pretty heavy around the first week of January, and the Canucks were kind of, let's do this. And the agent said he wanted to know the salary cap numbers. Well, guess what now? He knows the salary cap numbers, but it's quiet there. But just going to be really fascinating the next few months. And, you know, Demko's durability. Let's say he comes back and gets injured again in 3 weeks. Like our poll question today, basically 90% said, you know what, he's injury prone. This isn't bad luck. It's injury prone. And so basically, look, a lot of people are losing faith in Demko. I'm saying this, there's always a chance he returns to his Vezina Trophy performance of last year before he got the first one before the Nashville playoff game. So I don't know where this goes, but it's going to be fascinating. This journey, I think, that we're going to be watching with the Canucks goaltending situation in the next few months.
Okay, this is looking back at something maybe we should have done, but I wonder if our poll today, and you guys, hey, you can maybe steal this off us, okay,
yeah.
You guys, but should Demko have taken the whole season off?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that was he missed playoff games last year. That's serious, serious stuff. And I know, you know, and look how long it took him to get healthy. Yeah. And then you have the back spasms on top of the pop Latias. We combine it. We call it back Latias. Who knows what this latest injury is? Like, maybe he should have just taken the whole season off in order to resurrect his career. I wonder if that, you know, if they're thinking that would have been a good idea. Maybe that wasn't as good a take as yours, Thomas.
There's two guys.
I don't know if we're making that trade here, Donnie.
You're right.
It's too hard. The NHL players just aren't wired like that. Even if it was the right call, good luck ever convincing a pro athlete, right? When they're cleared, they're going to try and play.
Yep. There's only so much time, right, that they have in their careers.
One other thing, guys, there's two players that started slow this year and didn't get to train the way they wanted to. Demko's one, and we have now found out the importance of falling behind, right? Yeah, Pettersson couldn't train like the way he wanted to in the summer because of his knee. Well, Demko, he didn't even get on the ice, you know, till mid-August. Look at these two guys and look at their summer training and look at everybody that was ahead of them. And then go look at Joshua. Joshua was one of the first guys to get Vancouver for off-season training at 8 rinks. And he was the first guy, and then look what he went through, and look how he fell behind. So we gotta give these guys some slack here that didn't get the proper training and fell behind all these other National Hockey League guys, and catching up in November, December, and January is a tough thing to do.
You can add JT Miller,
got through this entire segment without mentioning EP 40.
Ah,
we were close.
But I wasn't ripping him. I was just talking
we always got to mention EP 40. But you're right about I'd add JT Miller, who got hurt in training camp and then obviously didn't, you know, have the sort of impact that he had the season prior over the course of this year.
One preseason game.
But you're right. We're watching guys try to jump onto a moving train and being like, you could have landed smoother. Right? Like, but that's effectively what we're doing.
Patterson's not the only guy who's had an injury over the summer.
No.
And it usually doesn't cause you to be a shadow of yourself for the whole season.
And he also, it started before the summer.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I mean? It started at the All-Star game last year. So why is it, oh, he can work out the summer? Well, it's part of it.
But he did fall behind, Jamie. But I will say one thing. I do not believe he's injured right now. The Canucks would not have sent him to the Four Nations if he was injured. And the Swedes would not have taken an injured player over a healthy player. Like, the notion out there that he's injured now is absolutely ridiculous. He's had his issues in the past, but I don't think I'm having a tough time finding anybody that tells me he's injured right now. I'm just having a tough time.
Well, whether it's injury or the performance impact coming back from an injury, it's more that it's clear that he's physically limited relative to what we're used to. I think that's more what people are saying, Rick.
Yeah.
At least that's what I'm saying. That's what I see when I watch
him. You know what doesn't get talked about enough, and Thomas, you're more of an analytics guy than I am, and certainly way more than Rick. But his skating speed, like when you go on NHL Edge, and his skating speed, his average
way
speed,
down.
His quickest burst, the speed of his shot, all that's way down. It's got to be something going on.
Let's say this. There's something going on. So why are the Vancouver Canucks there's something going on? Sit down. I don't care if it takes 2 weeks, 6 weeks, 6 months. Get 100% healthy and then come back. Why is that not taking place?
Well, Pedersen and Demko, both of them should have taken the whole year off.
Why did Ilya Mikheyev play half a season on a torn ACL, Rick? Like, I don't know. I don't understand it.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, but just if he is injured, sit him down and say you don't get to come back until you're 100% healthy, if that's the case. But nobody's saying that he's injured, that they're sitting him down. How did he get to the Four Nations? The Four Nations doesn't take players who are injured.
Last time I checked, he walked.
No team wants an injured player. And then, you know what? You know what? The Swedes aren't going to put an injured player on their roster. Come on, man. There's no way.
Yeah, I don't think he's injured beyond like normal NHL bumps and bruises right now. I can buy that there was something going on over the summer, but it's just, well, why did it start? Why did his drop-off start in February then? Maybe, like, whatever. Okay, he got tendonitis in February. That ruined his season and ruined his ability to work out. Okay, but like, what's going to be different this year then if he still has tendonitis?
How do you get the burst back?
You know what I mean? Like, that's the big question. If you think he needs a summer to reset, why is it going to be different than last summer when I thought he was going to reset and come back a lot better? And it didn't happen at all.
I don't think anyone knows that he needs a summer to reset. It's more that, like, why should we have expected him to just reset suddenly at the Four Nations, right?
Sure.
Like, I don't understand that given that I see some physical limitations
in
his game.
The one thing there, Thomas, is that, and Rick goes on and on about this, he was playing with better wingers.
Yeah, Kempe and Forsberg.
He ended up being a winger at the end of the tournament with very little ice time. So that was the one new chapter, and it didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out. So, it wasn't Mikheyev and Lafferty he was playing with at the Four Nations. He had two very good wingers with him. His ice time went from 16 minutes to 14 minutes to 9 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like that, you know.
Yeah,
and here's the other problem the Canucks have. It wasn't good. And if the Canucks are going to trade him, the asset's diminishing. So if you are a team looking at Pedersen before the Four Nations, are you still looking at him after Four Nations?
I mean,
Frank Cervelli.
But the thing is, you got to be a smart team to be after him anyway. And if you're not, if you're going to say, hey, we're not too worried about his last 84 games in which he's looked pretty mid, including 16 plus playoff games, right? then you're not going to watch those three games and be like, oh, you know what? We've changed our mind. He's, you know, like, that's my view anyway. If you're if you're looking at Pettersson, you're looking at, hey, this guy's been almost a point per game across his first 450 games between the ages of 20 and 25. Most of the time, those guys end up being at least an Alexi Yashin, Claude Giroux type player. We'll wager on that. So I don't think he's going to lose his value. I disagree with Frank. Loved the rant, but disagree with him on that. There's going to be some teams that think that way. There's going to be other teams, and we saw one make a pretty hefty offer before deciding to trade for Mikko Rantanen, that are still going to chase that upside, even if the contract's prohibitive.
Hey guys, my parking,
I know,
my parking's up.
I don't
if
think
I get a ticket, if I get a ticket, Donnie's got the same parking. If I get a ticket, your boss is paying for it.
All right. I don't care about that. That's fine.
Donnie can pay it, and it can be the price for stealing my take.
I don't think we're going to solve the Pettersson issue right now, so we'll let you go. We'll let you guys go rather than continue at it. Thanks for doing this. We'll chat next week.
All right, guys.
Adios.
Cheers, boys.
Adios.
That is Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal.
Sorry,
you can check them out.
No, that's all right.
Donnie and Dhali, Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Czech TV. They join us here for the crossover every Wednesday, and we let them dash out to get their parking meters after the hit with us. So we'll take a quick break here. Abbreviated segment on the other side.
I can't believe Rick Dhaliwal tried to hit Brandon Hagel with a too small.
Yeah. Also, somebody texted in, Brandon Hagel's listed at 6'2", and Sam Bennett is listed at 6'1". He's only fought two guys under 6 feet. No, they didn't.
The best part that you guys don't see is that after you guys say goodbye,
he immediately jumps up and sprints out.
And they just start yelling at each other.
Perfect. All right.
That's how we do it.
We'll take a break. We got a short segment coming up next here on Canucks Talk. Sportsnet 650.